Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's least coherent podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up A Second. I'm Jackson Bailey.
I'm Cass.
And I'm Adam, and today's topic is coming home for Christmas.
It's good. It's been a while.
We picked it.
This is going to be saved as Her Majesty, so just letting you know. This is, I guess, now a message for future Jackson.
What meal are you excited to come home for each Christmas?
Oh my God, I love Christmas. Look, I've gone through a lot of stages of grief at the moment, and I've come out the other side into ecstasy, which I assume is that beautiful loop that God's talking about.
The final stage of grief, yes.
Yeah, you know the infinity sign that galaxy exists on?
Galaxy brain.
Yeah, I'm getting Instagram and maybe the universe confused. Carl Sagan was in both.
Well, Carl Sagan, guess what? Instagram is in both as well.
What, in both?
Instagram is in Instagram, and it's also in the universe. They're all in cursive upon each other, endlessly, some might say.
Special carrots is what I'm excited for.
What are special carrots?
Are they the purple ones?
I think some of them might be, but they can be orange too. Mm-hmm. So you parboil them to the point where, and they're all really small carrots.
Sorry, for the people who might not know, can you say what parboiling is? Is that anything to do with your dad?
Or do you boil them till they are on par?
Like, as I am imagining, on par and with your par.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it means that you boil them, but not until they're like boiled. You know how you boil veggies and then they go all soft and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So parboiling is boiling them, but not too much.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I'm going to put them in the boiling water, but this isn't the sole method.
That's how I boil veggies anyway. I guess I've always been parboiling.
Do you steam them?
What? No.
So parboiling is like you put the veggies in and the veggies are, you imagine the veggies are saying to you, stop! Stop it! Enough!
Oh my God, stop! You're making me hot. That's what the vegetables say to me. Then you take the carrots out of the parboiling and then you've gotten them to a stage where you can just like pull the skin off of them.
Oh boy.
And so you get smooth carrot with the top of skin separated from rest of carrot.
Ooh, do you eat the skin?
You do not. You chuck the skin away.
That's
I don't think you pull it off. I think you rub it off. So it's like, it's very tedious. Mm. And then you like roast them in the oven.
Yeah.
And you serve them with a special berry that's not a cranberry, but smaller, but is a sweet berry and feta cheese.
A special berry that is not a cranberry.
Yes.
Smaller than a cranberry.
Uh-huh. So far, all we have to go on is that it is not a cranberry. That includes so many things.
And it's smaller than a cranberry.
Oh, smaller than a cranberry, but not a cranberry.
But it's like a cranberry.
Like a cranberry.
I don't know. Yes. I'm just going through the berries I know in my head and none of them are helpful.
I don't know this one, hence.
I assume. I mean, like, I love the idea that you're just keeping it a secret from us. That you're like,
Yeah, I'm like, no, this is mum's recipe. It's not mum's recipe.
You can't know the berry. For sure.
Absolutely delicious. And I think maybe verjuice on them.
Mm.
Phenomenal. And they're just too much of a hassle to make it any other time of the year.
But Christmas, you feel like putting on a show. I get that.
When I talk, the opus that will be me discussing coming home to food will have a lot of like foods that are only when you have the time to extrain yourself.
Which
upon.
Is crazy because the food that I'm excited for, and look, Christmases are fun with my family, but the food is never like out of this world, but is turkey. And what's crazy is that I could get a turkey. The supermarket near my house has like roast turkey legs. You want one? But I'm always like, it feels wrong to just buy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
Can I offer maybe a controversial opinion?
Please,
my
I'd love
theory
you
as to why you don't. I think, my opinion, turkey is a gross food. I don't like. I think turkey is bad.
Yes,
but For some reason, when you dress it up and when there's family, turkey becomes a good food.
See, I would agree with you, but I love a turkey sub.
Oh, yeah.
Or a turkey sandwich. Cranberry? Mm. Incredible.
I find it abhorrent. What not
is,
abhorrent.
What,
I find
what, it is it just the boring? Okay, so yeah. I was like, I don't know what's gross about turkey. But yeah, I get, yeah, some people find it really boring.
Just chicken's
yeah,
dry, thick cousin.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
A dry, chewy meat, but then when family's there, turkey becomes better.
Well, I think that's because the place that you're having turkey typically is like, I don't know, like a like a meatloaf or a Subway. But if someone cooks a turkey, oh, my mouth's watering. I fucking love turkey so much.
Turkey's good. I love leftovers after Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Just being like thick bit of cold ham because... Mm-hmm. I don't know if other countries do cold ham.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
We do cold ham because it's really hot, so we have a chilled ham.
Are you talking about cold cuts?
No, like a cold ham.
You have a leg of ham and it's cold.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I've ever done that.
You don't do a cold ham?
So
I think
good.
I think that's a
Australian thing.
Yeah, Australian thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perhaps not an Italiano.
No. Me no Italiano. What were you... I mean it no Italiano.
What were you going to say? Because it looked like you made a face like you were about to be rude, so I cut in.
No, it's fine.
No, he was going to say that it's not an it's a white person Christmas tradition. But yeah, I guess turkey, and that's kind of it. Oh, and dips and cheese, but I'm excited for that every year. So yeah.
That's not a specific.
And kind of all the time. So yeah.
Do you guys, we make fruit mince pies sometimes, and when you do it, you get fruit mince.
Yeah.
And then it's a week-long process where you get the fruit mince, you stir it up until the sort of, it settles a bit and it gets a bit lower in the jar, and then you top it with brandy, and then you wait till it all soaks into the brandy, then you stir it again, then you top it up with brandy, and you keep doing it until the fruit mince, can they take any more cap?
You want
and
your,
then you keep going.
You want your fruit mince to be like just a pow, like you've done a shot of brandy,
I don't know if
and then you cover it and whiskey cream. Oh my god, yum. And you're drunk as a loon. 10 a.m. and drunk as a lord, as they say.
I don't know fruit mints that much.
Really?
I get, that's it, this is what happened in those cold mince pies or whatever, right?
Fruit mints, yeah.
Yeah, I've had those like twice in my life, and once was for a stream that we did.
I thought you're going to be like, once was for a dare.
Well, the first time I did not finish it, I only got halfway through. And then on the stream, I forced myself to eat a bunch. As a joke.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess it's like a dare. What's the seafood situation? Because I don't like seafood. Mm. But I know that in Australia, a seafood is a Christmas food. It's what you have. Yeah, prawns and...
Throwing a shrimp on the barbie.
Absolutely. And oysters and what have you. But yeah, I avoid that.
My mum used to do a prawn dish where... And like prawns remind me of Christmas because everyone's like they're unshelling the prawns.
Yeah,
so like that's part of the
like
Christmas
a morning
work.
Activity, yeah,
and it's very lovely. So every time I like smell an unshelled prawn, I'm like, Santa.
That's the Sorry, go on. That's the only part of the like classic Australian dish, if you will, on Christmas that I get.
Really?
Is the prawns. Yeah, we still do lots of prawns, big king prawns, cold, and then small cooked prawns on
Oh, we don't do cooked. We do like the small, I mean, they're obviously cooked.
At some point, but they're not cooked on the day. Yeah.
So my mom would do this thing where you chop up the prawns until they're tinily diced.
Yeah.
So you've got like a prawn, tiny diced prawn thing. And then she'd make this special mayonnaise that is more than mayonnaise because mayonnaise is yuck.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
Mix it all through and then you put it into emptied out snow peas.
Oh, boy.
So like you've got like this crispy, like beautiful, like, prawn, mayonnaise, other flavors in the mayonnaise that are nice.
Yeah.
She is filling snow peas.
Yeah.
With mayo.
Holy
with prawns.
Shit.
Like
with
a prawn
prawny.
Mix.
Wow.
Well,
it's
she's
so
dicing
good.
Them up that much.
Yep.
How, wait, when you say snow pea, are you talking about the pea itself?
No, I'm assuming like the casing.
Yeah.
That makes. All right. I was imagining the peas within, and that was insanity.
That, I'm surprised you didn't fucking die from how crazy that would be.
No, that is, oh my God, that is a very good Christmas thing for me.
The only thing I was thinking was like, Cass's mom has so much love in her.
Well, she does.
Do they sew the, does your mom sew up the pea pod at the end?
No, you don't need to because the there's so much structural integrity in a pea
pod.
That
makes sense.
You just like, you slice them open, shovel the prawn in, and it just sits open, the pea pod holds the prawn in. The prawn holds it open. Oh my! I'm salivating thinking about this.
Yeah, this is making me
ultimate
hungry.
Like Christmas thing for me. There's other things in it than mayonnaise. I cannot stress enough that it is good.
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Hey, I'm a mayonnaise fan. I think Adam is too. We our mayo.
I love a mayo.
Mayo's good.
Mayo's great.
But I understand so easily the hate for it, because it's gross.
I like Kewpie mayonnaise.
Yeah, whole grain. Yeah, whole
the only meat, way I whatever. Could understand.
Go on, nothing, go on.
The only way I could understand hatred of mayonnaise is if you've never had it with the right food. Because I understand, I love mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And with the right foods, I'll consume too much mayonnaise.
Sure.
No matter the situation, it's too much, I assure you.
Yeah.
But if I have it with any food other than the right food, I hate it.
Really?
It's gross, yeah.
No, that makes sense. As someone who doesn't... Look, that might be a bit obvious. I will say that I know there are some and some mayonnaises are grosser than others. Like, yes. Sometimes you spread a mayonnaise and you're like, why does this look like glow paint?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Whole egg mayo. That's what I was looking for before.
Ah.
That's a bad mayo. It's too natural. Mm. I like my mayo tart, you know?
I go for all sorts. Mayo, all mayos, big and small. Welcome within
my mouth. But you also love an aioli.
Whole egg. No egg.
No egg.
Egg.
Egged.
Too many eggs.
They didn't crack the egg.
Oh, no. Shelled.
They cooked it sunny side up, then used it.
Well, what's because basic chicken that's stuffed and some ham and maybe a couple of salads, I can't really think of. Oh, and Christmas pudding, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love a bit of Christmas.
You light it on
pudding.
Fire with brandy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Never done that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good. And then you dollop that thick yellow Christmas cream all over it. And oh, my God. And you're already full of like turkey and ham and fucking whatever else. So I'm salivating too. So putting that big like drunken spoonful in your mouth, phenomenal. But what are you excited to come home for Christmas, Adam?
Everything.
Yeah.
So let me begin.
Please. I'm ready for the next...
begin.
25 minutes to be you describing food to me.
It begins with my mom.
Yeah.
What my mom will make, she makes, I don't even know what it is, but it's like creamy potatoes. So
sure.
What she does is you get a potato, peel that bitch, you chop it up into like slices or slivers, put all of that in a baking tray.
Sure.
And she puts like some sort of cheese, some sort of, it becomes like creamy. It gets like a almost, not really a carbonara sauce, but like almost a carbonara sauce.
Okay, yeah.
Delicious. Holy shit. I love that. And then my mom will make like a pasta, a big pasta dish. Whatever the dish is, it's probably usually amazing.
Yeah.
But it's like my mom uses an amalgamation of her mom and my dad's mom's sauces, which is not a pale imitation of both. But,
hey.
But still pretty good. Well, she had to because my dad hates her mom's sauce, which is a pity because now we don't. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure. Look, I'm sad you're losing sauces.
Then she'll do like a salad, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Salad's
there.
Everyone in my family loves putting vinegar and oil on a salad.
Yeah.
Leave a salad alone.
Now, see, I like putting vinegar on a salad. I like putting balsamic vinegar on a salad. Keep the oil away. I don't need my lettuce slimier. It's slimy enough.
Now, I agree with the lack of sliminess, but I like salads... untouched.
You just basically want to eat a garden. That's what you're looking for.
Adam, we constantly have salads that are covered in sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That one's nice, but...
Okay, so it's just a vinegary sauce that you're not a fan of.
Yeah, and the oil's a bit gross. I would like it known that I don't like salad unless all the bits of salad are the same size.
That rule... No, I get that. Like a big leaf of lettuce in a salad.
Oh, my God.
You're like, what am I meant to do here?
Thanks for the homework. I don't work at this restaurant. What are you doing? This is unpaid labor.
Absolutely.
A big, crunchy bit of lettuce? Nah, I love that shit.
Well, see, I like it, but not in a salad. Give it to me as a side. Now we're talking.
All right. So.
Yeah. Let's nut this out.
Perfect salad for me.
Yeah.
The only drizzle that you should have is maybe like a little bit of water on the top.
Okay, sure.
You got some crispy iceberg lettuce.
Yes.
You got chopped tomatoes or cherry tomatoes. Either are acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Wait, whole cherry tomatoes?
Whole cherry tomatoes. Maybe halve them. Oh, no, actually, you're right. Halve the cherry tomatoes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so much more reasonable.
You've got cucumber.
Yeah.
What you do is you skin it down the side, or skin it, but only like in strips.
Yeah, okay,
so you've got blank strip, skin. blank strip skin, chop that into fucking little slices or whatever, mm-hmm. chuck that shit in. Then maybe you can add, that's the base bitch.
Okay.
From there, you can build if you want. Mm-hmm. You can add feta. Okay. That's allowed. Okay.
I do like feta.
You can add a special type of Spanish olive that I have never found anywhere other cool. than my mom's fridge.
Cool. Mystery olives, sure.
Yeah, there mystery.
Is, they only exist there, I promise you. They're like hard yeah. and they're just not as bitter
I wouldn't
as
dare look. I believe you.
No.
Maybe, I wouldn't say onion. That's it. That's all I want in my salad.
Really?
Yep.
Cass, would you like to describe your perfect salad if we're doing it?
I do want
to
ask.
While we're in the realm.
I do want to ask. Are you wanting the kind of feta that is dry and crumbed?
Oh, good
or
point.
Did you want like Meredith feta?
Yeah, like oil. Do you want like feta, oil, feta
yeah,
and oil?
Yeah, oil is okay.
Oil feta?
No, dry. Dry. Feta. Give me the dry. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Because the oil is going to fuck it up.
No, you don't want oil. That is true. Yeah.
I don't really like salads.
Yeah, that's fair. That is if your favorite salad is no salad, that's valid.
Yeah.
That's a valid salad. Ooh. I know. I was excited to get that out.
What's your valid salad?
My valid salad is so you begin with a base. Begin with a base.
Yeah. Begin with a base.
Begin. You begin with
You're
a base.
You're having a lot of fun.
I'm having a good time. Of rocket. Crispy, fresh rocket. Delish. Feta. Delish. Candied almonds, delish. Pine nuts,
candied
hell
almonds.
Yeah. Or
pine
candied nuts, whatever. They've got to be candied.
Pine nuts recently got into.
Add some pine nuts to that. Add some tuna to that. Did I say feta? Put some more feta in there. Chuck some olives in that. Fluff that shit up with your two big salad tongs. Eat that. Live fast, die young. That salad rolls.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Also, hey, shut up a second is as good as the last sip of hot chocolate where all the chocolate's at the bottom. But if you've ever wished that they'd just be honest with how sad they are, then good news! Our podcast, Why Am I Sad, might just be what you need. Join Cass, Samet, Ruby, and comedian George DeMorelis as they try and figure out why they're sad and give the best advice people with zero professional training can give. Go to sanspantsradio.com, search Why Am I Sad, and remember to always take care of yourself. Ooh, I actually remember you've mentioned this. No, I know what my favorite salad of my life has been.
Please.
It was the ones my friends made.
Oh,
and it was,
bless.
They were like, oh, do you want salad for lunch? I'm like, okay, let's be healthy. And I was like, oh my God, you have to give me the recipe. And they were like, it's a salad. Everything
Put the
you see
in
the
bowl.
Everyone fucking sees that. I have this theory.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong. But I reckon everyone reckons the salad they had as a kid is the salad is salad until you become old enough to like live on your own.
Was it last year?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, well, I don't know how old your friend was, but until I was
older
like
an. Me.
No, because you. What I'm trying to say is before then, you knew there were different types of salad.
Yeah.
Up until I moved out,
yeah.
If I ever encountered another type of salad, I was like, what is this? This doesn't count as salad.
I think it. I don't know about that, but I think it took me a long time to realize that a salad, like, a salad can be anything.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, And there's a lot of salads I don't like. Caesar salad, fuck off.
Caesar salad can fuck off.
Gross flavor, too many croutons, it's barely a salad.
It's not salad. Yeah. It's like fun. It's a fun treat, but it's not a salad.
It took
I
me-
I want Parmesan in my fucking salad. What? That shit's gross.
You could chuck a bit of Parmesan in a salad. That's
it's the
right.
only part that ruins it. Take out the Parmesan, and I love a Caesar salad.
I hate the cream. The
dressing.
Creamy
mayonnaise. That you're fine with that.
Yeah.
If the cream gets hard, though, not for Adam.
It's the salad of my people.
Adam is Roman. It's true. Yeah, but I'm trying to remember the first time I had the salad that is now my go-to salad. I don't know. It was here somehow.
Yeah.
Maybe this was Zamet's go-to salad and I co-opted it and added the candied nuts.
See, I feel like you introduced him to pine nuts, though.
That's weird. Well, maybe it's a stable time loop.
That seems the most likely option, to be honest.
Yeah. One of us is from an alternate dimension.
Yeah, or in the future, I'll travel back in time to tell... Zamet will travel back in time to tell me about pine nuts, and then I'll tell him about pine nuts, and it's a stable time loop. But really, none of us ever learned about pine nuts.
What if in the future you travel back in time to do that, but then you're like, it's kind of a lot of work. So you go back in time, you slip me a $20 note, you're like, Adam, just say this.
That's great because how long ago?
In the future, $20 isn't as much.
It's not a big deal. That's what are you going to say? What would I try and get you to say? Zamet, there are pine nuts.
No, this podcast now.
Oh, yeah.
True. Adam's giving you a false meme.
Oh, no. What else are we getting at your Christmas dinner?
All right. From my dad's mom's side.
Sure.
From my dad's side, we're getting like three different types of salad. All of them garbage. Sure. Not interested. Shouldn't have mentioned them. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
You've ruined, in a way, respect lower. Yeah.
From my nonna, we're getting a lasagna. The lasagna will have peas in it, which I don't tend to like, but in that's this lasagna, it's good.
I'm trying to get back into peas, you know?
Yeah, no, I know.
I like peas as a kid, heaps, and I'm trying to figure out how to make myself like peas now.
Yeah.
Still figuring it out. I reckon I got to put them in a carbonara, which is bold, but I think that's how I had them as a child, and it was good.
Yeah. Two types of schnitzel. My nonna, my dad's mum's type and my mum's type.
Yeah.
My mum does it thin, really fucking thin. And my nonna does it thin.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite?
Both of them. Oh, no, my mum's one is better.
Yeah.
My mum's one is better. That's I love them both.
Do you ever use the thin schnitzel? Sorry.
Snitchel.
The schnitzel. Snitchel.
I grew up saying snitchel and I didn't know it was wrong.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Say the schnitzel that you just said.
Snitch.
I see. I want to get a joke out. All right. Just say that schnitzel get stitches. You see
snitchel get stitchel.
Snitchel. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Do you ever use your mother's schnitzel as the bread in a schnitzel sandwich?
I never have, but I will this Christmas.
That's so powerful. Then, so much damn chicken.
We get, my mom does chicken parmigiana, so she'll get pasta sauce, put that on top, cheese on top of that. Holy shit, it's delicious.
Love
is this, sorry, separate to or in
this addition? Is another type of schnitzel that will appear at the party.
That is insane.
Do you know how many chickens die for your family each year?
None of them are left by the time we're done.
I thought, Cash, you were like, do you have any openings this Christmas?
Do you have, anyone in your family need a plus one? Like, does anyone need to convince someone that they're actually okay? They did get over their ex.
The idea of inviting Sans Pants to my family Christmas amuses me to no end.
It would be very funny.
And what else? Right, my nonna will do like a stuffed pepper.
Yeah,
she does two different types. She does stuffed with cheese, and she does stuffed with ricey cheese.
Sorry, do you mean just cheese?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy
shit! How do you divvy that up? It's soup.
Yeah, yeah.
It becomes like a. I don't know how she does it, but it becomes like
thick.
Like sticky. Like what it'll sit, fuck? it'll be like a city gluggy thing. It becomes like hardish glue. It's got that consistency.
Yeah,
to it.
I can kind of imagine. That's insane, though.
She does. She doesn't do meatballs. I forget what they're called. Are they polpetti? I forget what it's called.
Not
but
sure.
It's like a tiny little meatball, and it's got Maybe cheese inside it? I don't know. It's got a gooey center.
I love chicken and cheese night at Adam's house.
She might do a second type of pasta. She'll do like her type of fried chicken, which is just KFC chicken.
Yeah.
I don't know how she does it, but she does KFC chicken. It's amazing.
I want to get into deep frying. I've been meaning to get into deep frying. It's not hard.
No, but the oil disposal is really weird.
Oh, that's true. Mm. I can't just dump it in the yard or down the drain.
No.
My dad will often do like a grill. Mm-hmm. So like steaks, lamb chops sort of stuff. We'll often have as well king prawns.
Yeah.
They're cold that you can just tear apart and eat. And then my dad will do a big fry up of small prawns. And I could go on. But
how do you starve yourself from like the get up at 8 a.m.?
I've just never thought of that. Like, I've just always...
Like, I just can't imagine eating that much. Like, I feel like purely mathematically, there must be a point where I can't eat everything.
It just doesn't happen.
Do you have one of everything every Christmas?
There are some things I skip.
Okay, yeah, not including salads, obviously.
Yeah, no.
I always make sure I get some salad. But, like...
Why?
Yeah, I skip a lot of salad. My aunt does... My nonna,
yeah.
God bless her. I love a lot of her food, but her salad is gross. She puts too much vinegar,
yeah,
too much oil. And my one of my aunts will make a salad as well, and it's gross. Yeah. Oh, but she does make a rice salad, and that's nice.
Ooh, okay. Does that count?
Yeah, is that just rice?
I don't know. I don't think so. You're right. Look, hey.
Yeah, I just can't imagine fitting. Like, at my Christmas, where the meals will be possibly a cold ham, mm-hmm. a turkey stuffed, sometimes bacon wrapped if Ryder's cooking, which is always nice. Maybe four or five, maybe you get like an asparagus salad, like a roast sort of salad. You might have like a potato salad. That's kind of it. Maybe someone will make a curry inexplicably.
Yeah.
Not a curry, sorry, curry. A chili inexplicably. Ooh, a chili. And then that's
more
it.
More interested by chili than curry.
And but by the end of it, and that's like five meals, of which I don't have much of, I'm like, I am full. And then I eat Christmas pudding and go to bed.
Yeah.
I would literally die if I tried to eat everything at your... That's amazing.
It's typically three courses as well. We'll do like an entree thing. That will be the main meal. And then we have like desserts. And then my dad might do another round of meat if anyone's hungry.
How late does it go?
It'll start at about midday and it'll end at about midnight.
Okay. Well,
that's a lot of time.
Yeah, that's actually later than my Christmas is probably finished around 9 p.m., something like that.
It does kind of stretch over to be two meals.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
So, movies.
Yeah, sure.
Now, we've got the classic...
Oh, I'll Be Home for Christmas?
Yeah, of course.
That's like my favorite film in the world. I love that film. You want to know something cute?
Yeah.
Earlier when Adam was talking, I saw him have a little grin, and I knew that was because he'd looked up movies.
No!
I saw him have a little like, cheeky boy. And I was like, he's looked up movies. All right. I'll Be Home for Christmas. Incredible. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Sewn into a sack.
Glued into a
sack. Sexily sewn in. His curves could not be contained.
He's glued into a Santa suit. Well, it begins before that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jonathan Taylor Thomas is, for some reason, giving out the clues, or not the clues, the answers to a quiz at the college he's at, and he gives them out to on pages that all of the people taking the quiz have. Mm. But then he buys some bully kids, which is weird because he's in college, but whatever. He gets inconvenienced or indisposed, and he can't give the kids the clues.
Mm.
And out of revenge, they glue him in a Santa suit and they drop him in the middle of the desert miles away from home. And he has to get home for Christmas to get the car that his dad always promised him he'd get. And slowly he learns the meaning of Christmas, and that film is incredible.
Can I hit you up with some movies?
Yes.
And you tell me if it is a Coming Home for Christmas movie.
Sure.
Because when I was looking through, I was like, does this count? And I want your opinion. All of these, I reckon, count as a Coming Home for Christmas, but I get it if you don't.
Okay.
So, first one, Krampus.
Krampus.
It begins with everyone coming back to one house.
Well, I feel like something we're going to encounter here,
Cash,
is that a lot of Christmas films don't start at home. Because the nature of Christmas is that people come back to our house. So if that is our yardstick for a Coming Home for Christmas movie.
No, I get it.
I think a more specific one is that is the returning for Christmas a device to make the plot start, or is it the plot?
That's true. That's a great point.
All right. So
Is it a byproduct of it being a Christmas story, or is it relevant to the narrative?
Let me hit you with this shit then.
Hit me up, boy.
Elf.
Elf. Coming home for Christmas.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
No, no.
Isn't he, sir? Didn't he leave this? He's looking for his family, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but he's not doing it for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. I would argue that it is a coming home movie. I know this is going to boil your ball sack, but I.
No. Look,
this
is a
coming home movie that happens to be set during Christmas.
No, I agree completely with Jackson.
Yeah.
On this All
right.
One.
Let me give you another one.
Okay.
Four Christmases.
Okay.
So if you need, I understand. If you, yeah,
I would love the synopsis if I could.
Four Christmases, known as Four Holidays or Anywhere But Home in some territories, is an American 2008 Christmas comedy drama film about a couple visiting all four of their divorced parents' homes on Christmas Day. It stars Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon with.
Just to save you some heartache.
Yeah,
I wouldn't count that.
See, I would.
No, I wouldn't count that.
Why does it fall outside the purview?
Because and this is from someone who has not seen the film.
Yeah, sure.
I would guess.
No one here has seen this movie.
I would guess that the main plot point and story arc is about the couple reconciling their differences with different people, and it's more about relationships and family.
That's fair.
Christmas is being used as sort of the driving force behind it, because Christmas is a time that culturally people are forced to face their families and deal with issues that they have, and they're also expected to be more forgiving around that time.
Yeah.
So it's a good, I think it's a way to set up a story about connectedness. I don't think going home for Christmas is the main plot point.
I think for a film to be a coming home for Christmas movie, it needs to, the protagonists have to not want to go home for Christmas. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So that when they arrive
home
for Christmas.
They really want to.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. But going home for Christmas has to be sort of the central conceit of the film.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can I hit you with one final one?
I'd love to hear it.
And then obviously we'll jump to, I guess, you, Jackson, with
history.
I'll
do history, yeah.
Christmas with the Cranks. So, if you need a reminder for this one,
yeah,
the Cranks, their daughter is not going to be here for Christmas, so they're like, whatever, we'll skip Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Hijinks ensue, but then at the end of the movie, their daughter's like, I'm coming home for Christmas. And they're like, holy shit. And the third act is all about the town coming together and helping them make for
their daughter. Of the four films you've mentioned, I'd say this is the closest to a coming home for Christmas movie.
I would also say it's not a coming home for Christmas movie.
Okay,
because
sure.
They're not, the plot point is, it's essentially the Ajax ad for Ajax spray and wipe.
Uh-huh. but the story of that ad is someone's coming home.
The story of that ad is a mother gets a call from her daughter, and the daughter says, oh my God. Look, I'll just quote the entire ad.
Please.
She got a call from Suze, her daughter. Something had distraught her. The wedding place in town had just turned to the ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the mum had to race around and clean up the Ajax house. Ajax the whole house, so it was fit to hold a wedding. Don't know why the mum was not with the bride.
that is weird.
Always stuck out to me that the mum was like, go for your life. Oh, hang on. The place burned down. Come here. I'm still at home.
If Christmas with the Cranks was a dual narrative of the Cranks are against Christmas back home, but their daughter, who is away for Christmas, is having her own troubles, and we focus on both, and she's like, well, I've got to get home for Christmas, and if then it would be a coming home for Christmas movie.
Yep.
Okay. I think we've given a pretty good distinction here.
Mm-hmm.
Time for the history of coming home for Christmas.
History and, of course, facts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the first person to ever really come home for Christmas in a sort of spiritual sense, it's got to be Ebenezer Scrooge.
That counts, does it? I guess you were a little bit more on my side than Cass was.
Well, that is not a coming home for Christmas story.
It's not a coming home for Christmas story, but he does, in a sense, come home for Christmas.
No, Jackson, I was so on your side. No.
In a way, he comes back to Christmas.
Oh, mercy.
The ghost of Christmas death or whatever it is.
The ghost of Christmas death.
He goes to the not his home of his grave.
Yeah. Oh. And then he returns. Yeah.
Can I say something very funny that happened recently?
I'd love you to.
I was with fellow shut up a seconder, Zoe Bellotta, and she was trying to describe the Christmas tale.
Yeah.
Except when she went to refer to it, she's like, you know, like Scrooge McDuck.
Ugh.
And it turns out her cultural touch point for the Christmas story is the duck.
That's very funny.
Wow.
And you'd be like, sorry, McDuck? She's like, oh.
Wow. That's great.
Wait, quick interlude or whatever.
Quid pro quo.
Who is your iconic Scrooge? Go.
Bill Murray in Scrooge.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. A terrible film about a terrible man who does not learn a lesson. It's insane. That movie forgot what Scrooge was about, and it's crazy. He's an awful man who does never learns his lesson or change his ways, but in the end he dances heaps, and the woman he has been abhorrent to the whole film is like, well, I'm back. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But it does have a good scene where I think a man has a rat in his head, so.
Ooh. In?
Yeah. Ian, yeah, he's dead. He's like a zombie. He's like, you know, in the Christmas tale where you got the three ghosts, yeah, but you also have the first ghost, who's his good mate, who comes back and he's like, hey, you're about to be, guess what? Bummeroo. You're about to be visited by three ghosts of Christmas time period.
Cass, your iconic Scrooge?
The one at the Maya Christmas windows that I saw when I was 10.
Oh, that rolls.
That's a fair answer. Yeah. I was going to say Jim Carrey after this. And really? I don't know if that one's that famous. Yeah.
That's really recent. That's what's interesting about that.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just one I think of often.
That's so interesting. I think I must have seen in like 1990 fucking whenever Scrooge came out, the first time it came to TV, I think I must have seen it as a kid.
Yeah.
Barely understood it, but enjoyed it and been like, that is the tale of Scrooge. Yeah.
Yep. So Jim Carrey was a close second for me, but I think I would have ultimately.
Oh, and then this one's less of a cultural touchstone because I barely remember it, but Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh, of course.
Obvi.
Classic.
You got any facts for us, Cash?
Yeah, please.
Sorry, did you finish?
Yeah. I think so.
I think Jackson was done before he started on that one.
I think I wrapped it up pretty nicely.
So my facts today will be, I think they are completely objective.
Sure.
For something to be coming home for Christmas.
Yeah, of course.
It has to be physically. You have to physically be leaving one place to return to a place that you refer to as home. This is why I do not think four Christmases counts.
Yeah, sure.
That place is not home for anyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Look, I disagree, but I understand.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that we could come to such
a
kind understanding.
It's nice that we can have a mature conversation about what denotes a coming home for Christmas movie.
Is this the first time ever in a Shut Up a Second where I have said the words, I disagree, but I understand?
Adam, is this the first time in your life?
In a calm, talking voice, I have said.
My favorite thing about this episode is that I think this is the most on topic we've been for possibly years.
It's shockingly
it's
on topic.
Scary.
We love Christmas and coming home for.
And it's crazy.
It was food. It was food what put us on.
Yeah.
It was food what put us on.
It was food what did it. It's great that this isn't even like a Christmas episode.
Oh, that means we get to do a Christmas episode later.
Absolutely. But
it has
wait
been
for
perpetual.
The...
Oh, I see. It's not coming out.
It's not coming out at Christmas. So wait, dear listeners, for Christmas when we won't presumably talk about Christmas.
Well, just shut up a second, 350.
No, you just wait. It'll be all of us having a normal episode, and then I'll be like, I'm hot, but that means it's Christmas. I'm happy. Here are the decorations I put up. I like ham.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Cass.
I've been Adam.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Crimbo.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.